Good evening, everyone. It's a big time for the church. We've now started Holy Week. It's the time where we're all called to go to the roots of what it means to be a Christian. It's a time where the church asks us to discover again, through the grace of baptism and confirmation in the Holy Eucharist, who we are and who we are called to be, and therefore how we are called to live. And not only how we are called to live, but why we are to live. There are many reasons. There are many false reasons why people can live. And they all end in depression or despair or ruin or mockery. There's only one way that leads to life. There's only one way that really lasts. There's only one way that is really a light in the darkness of all of our struggles. And the way and the truth and the life is Jesus Christ. And so the church in these days, a holy week of days, where all of us are called to reflect on the life, on the passion, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, to enter into again His love for us, which is the cause and the purpose and the direction of our lives as Christians. In the Gospel of Mark, there is a single direction of the entire Gospel. It is, who is Jesus Christ, objectively? And who is He for me? Who is He for you? So the entire path of the Gospel begins with one who teaches with authority. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He's one who casts out demons, one of whom those who oppose God are afraid. He heals the sick. He lives the way that He teaches. He multiplies bread and He feeds the 4,000 or the 5,000. And at the epicenter of the Gospel is the confession of one man. And He says, "You are the Messiah, the one whom God has sent." The confession of Peter. Peter is the seam of the Gospel of Mark. And yet it is in these verses of the Passion today, where we finally meet someone who really confesses the Lord. And it's not one of the 12. It's not anyone from the Sanhedrin. There is one person in the whole Gospel of Mark who really gets it. The words are stunning. When the centurion who stood facing Him saw how He breathed His last, he said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." The centurion, a non-Jew, not a disciple of Christ. He wasn't with Him when He healed the sick, when He multiplied the loaves. He didn't receive the grace that Peter received, but he stood at the foot of the cross. And he saw how Jesus died. He's the witness in the Gospel of Mark who got to see the last moment of the earthly life of Jesus Christ. What happened? How did Jesus die? What did He see so that He was inspired of anyone to say, "Truly this man was the Son of God"? We know that in the Passion, Jesus loses everything. Especially in the Gospel of Mark, the account in the Gospel of Mark. His disciples betray Him. His disciples abandon Him. He is falsely accused and mocked before the Sanhedrin. Pilate compromises the truth for the sake of expediency. He is mocked by the soldiers who have authority and abuse authority. He's even mocked on the cross. He's mocked for having taught the love of God, for having professed who He really is. He's even mocked by those who are crucified with Him. But there is one thing that Jesus never loses, and it is the center of the Christian life. It is the inheritance that we receive in baptism. It is the inheritance that is confirmed in the sacrament of confirmation. It is the freedom that is communicated to us when we discover the Holy Spirit. And it is the glorious freedom of the children of God when we too can say, Abba, Father. Jesus was always the Son. Everything is stripped from Him except for His identity as the Son of God. So He doesn't die a desperate man. He doesn't die a despairing man. He doesn't die alienated from those whom He loves. He dies with confidence that His Father is always to be trusted. That in the end, love is stronger than death. And that the mercy of God, ki lecholam hazdo, the mercy of God endures forever. This is what the centurion witnessed. He witnessed a man who, even losing everything, gave up his last so confidently and so peacefully in the triumph of total trust in God. And the centurion was able to say, truly, this man is the Son of God. My brothers and sisters, each one of us is called to receive that gift of the centurion's confession. If we have not received that gift, we need to beg the Lord for it. If we don't look at Jesus Christ and confess with that same sincerity, truly this man is the Son of God, we need to beg God for that grace. We need this Holy Week to rekindle us, to send the fire of God's love into our hearts, to start anew. And there is a way that the Lord gives us the strength to start anew. It's when He says, this is My body for you. This is My blood of the covenant, which will be shed for the many. The Eucharist is the food of fidelity. The Eucharist gives us the courage and the capacity to consistently confess our faith. My brothers and sisters, these days are to be intense days of prayer. And we ask the Lord for help. We ask the Lord not to be great, not to be noticed, but to be present with Him in His passion. To abide with Him before the face of the Father, so that with the centurion, we too can confess with simplicity and with humility and receiving the total gratuity of the faith that comes to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit through the mystical body of Christ the Church, that truly this man is the Son of God.